95.3 WBCK now presents Coach's Corner, live from Lakeview Ford. For over six decades, this has been your number one source for all local sports information. Coach's Corner is proudly presented by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now, here's your host, Bill Broderick.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, in the big chair once again on WBCK for another week of Coach's Corner, coming to you live from downtown Battle Creek at Lakeview Ford Lincoln on the Motor Mile. For more than 60 years, Coach's Corner has been talking to the city high school coaches about the week in sports, and we will continue to do that as we look back at the final week of the regular season and we look ahead to the playoffs as we talk to our first coach of the morning. But first, here is the Lakeview Ford Coach's Corner scoreboard. In the game of the week, Lakeview hosted Gull Lake as the Spartans were looking to end the season on a high note and get their first win of the season. And Lakeview did just that in a high-scoring 62-36 win over Gull Lake. Elsewhere in the city, Harbor Creek clinched the outright title in the Interstate 8 Conference for the second year in a row with a 48-16 win over Jackson Northwest. Penfield beat Parma Western in overtime, 35-34. Battle Creek Central lost to Mattawan, 26-22. And St. Phil fell on the road at Burr Oak. Also on Friday, Marshall beat Coldwater, 28-7. Climax Scots outlasted Pittsford, 72-64 in eight-player football. Colon beat North Adams Jerome, 71-20. It was Olivet 49, Comstock Park 14. Athens 35, Tekonsha 8. Concord defeated Bellevue 50-10. It was Springport 7, Bronson 0. South Haven defeated Galesburg Augusta 21-6. It was Homer 56, East Jackson 8. And Decatur beat Union City 20-8. We will be back with our first coach after this commercial. This is Coach's Corner on WBCK 95.3 FM.
What? Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here on Coach's Corner. We're here with our first coach of the morning, Coach Lauren Granger of the Battle Creek Central Bearcats. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
We had Battle Creek Central playing its final regular season game of the year, played Mattawan. The Bearcats fell short. Lost 26-22. Battle Creek Central ends the season at 4-5. Tell us how that game kind of went down to the wire, and tell us how it kind of went early for you.
Yeah, it was kind of a disappointing night. Not kind of. It was a disappointing night for us. We had chances at the end. We had chances all game long, but definitely had a chance at the end to win, and couldn't put the ball in the end zone. But, you know, football is a momentum game, and we just did not establish much momentum. There was a couple of times in the game where we put together quality drives that got stalled by holding penalties. We had a lot of penalties last night. I think we had 10 penalties. And it's tough to be productive on offense when you're backing up 10 yards every time you turn around. I think there was one drive we had three straight holding penalties, it seemed. So, you know, we just really couldn't get in the rhythm that we wanted to be in and swing the momentum back in our favor. We spotted them a couple of big plays. You know, they're a flex bone offense. They want to run the ball. They're capable of throwing it, but that's not really what they do. But when they needed big plays last night, that's what they did, and they were successful doing it. We just didn't make plays in the defensive backfield, and we couldn't get off the field when we needed to get off the field. And unfortunately, we came out on the wrong end of it, and it's disappointing for us. We had a lot of, I wouldn't say expectation, but we had a lot of excitement around this season, and I feel like we fell a little short. 4-5 isn't where we thought we would be, and especially not to end the season 4-5 after starting off 4-2. So we're disappointed for the kids and the community, you know, for our seniors especially. We felt like we just felt like we had our opportunities last night, but we just weren't quite focused enough.
We had Randall Gray had two touchdowns for you. Amir Luckett added another score, and you talked about you had a you started out 4-2, and you have a real young team. The future is bright there, but you had some things going for you last night. If you could have came up with that win, you had a chance at a winning record at 5-4. That would have given you some momentum going forward with that young team. A 5-4 record with your strength of schedule possibly could have got you in the playoffs. A division win. I mean, it was a non-division game, but you had a chance with a backdoor in terms of sharing the title. It comes essential if they would have stubbed their toe. So a lot going on. So like you mentioned, I could hear the disappointment in your voice about the chances there for the Bearcats that didn't come through. But the fact that you are a young team and made some progress this year after the last couple of years, winning a total of one game over a two-year span, there has to be some a bright light there a little bit too, right?
Yeah, and a lot of young kids that helped contribute toward that. I mean, there were some key seniors on this team, and we talked all week long about the fact that, you know, the hard thing was last week when we lost, and obviously there's not an automatic qualifier in the playoff thing anymore, but when you get that fourth loss, you can feel that your chances of being in the playoffs are slim. There's always something else that has to happen in order for you to get in. You don't control your own destiny anymore. And that's easy to see if you look at the websites and you watch the rankings and all that stuff. So it's hard to convince the kids otherwise. And so we talked all week long about, you know, the importance of a 5-4 record and the importance of swinging the momentum at the end of your season into your off season. The importance of getting that win if you wanted to have a chance at the playoffs, but we had to be realistic about what else had to happen in order for us to make it. And it was funny because on Monday we're talking about that, and I tell the kids, hey, if this happens and if that happens, and you could just kind of see it on their face. They're like, that's not all going to happen. And, you know, I am a different, maybe I'm different, because I said anything can happen. Anything happens all the time. That's why we play the game. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to control what I can control and put myself in the best position to be able to take advantage of whatever is given. And the kids, they're just a little bit different. You know, they're always second-guessing everything. I had a hard time convincing them that all of that stuff was true. I had a hard time convincing them of the importance of a 5-4 record. And we just weren't quite focused, I thought, throughout the week like we needed to be. And it showed. It showed last night when we played the game. Unfortunately, they were very focused. And they executed and we didn't.
Well, like we've been talking about all year, you had a lot of young players who have a bright future, and you're excited about next year. It's also a tough when Week 9 comes and you don't have a playoff in front of you with a bunch of seniors that walk off the field for the last time, and you hope that they kind of appreciate what they experienced, because high school football is such a special situation for everybody, and those Friday night lights don't come around all the time. And when you're a senior and you are leaving that for the last time, you're probably not going to realize till a little bit later that how special that time was. And you feel like some of your kids got grasp of that, or
yeah, I think it really hit. It always really hits right after the game, but I think it really hit our seniors this year or this week, and that this was going to be the end. And we did our senior walk on Wednesday, and you could tell they feared the finality of that. And so your heart always aches for the seniors. It's not just that football is over. It's what am I going to do next? And so we talk with our seniors about having plans for after high school. And sometimes that, you know, they want to play college football and sometimes they don't. I don't care if they want to or not, but I want them to have a plan so they don't have to be filled with anxiety for what they're going to do after football is over. Because it's one of those things, football in high school isn't just in the fall. You train for that all year long. our underclassmen are already asking when the weight room's going to be open, but for the seniors, they feel empty at the end of it. So your heart aches for them, especially the ones that put in a lot of time and do everything you ask them to do, and we had some of those, you know. So you hate to see them crying, you hate to see them upset, but you understand. As a coach, most of us played the game. All of us played the game. Most coaches played the game, and they know what that emptiness feels like. So your heart just aches for those kids, because you can't help but say, oh, wish I would have done this, I wish I would have done that. Well, what if I would have done this? And as a coach, those things haunt you, because you know you don't get those kids back. So,
well, we'll talk more about those seniors next week when we get together the final time with you, Coach, and say some thank yous to some other people around the program next week when we get together on Coach's Corner. Thanks a lot for coming down here, Coach, this morning.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning after this break on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here on Coach's Corner. We're here with our next Coach of the Morning, Coach Robbie Hatton of the Penfield Panthers. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Bill. How you doing today?
Hey, we're doing good. Penfield came up with a dramatic 35-34 win over Parma Western in overtime. Crazy way to end the regular season. It looks like that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a heck of a football game. It was a good atmosphere. You know, it was our salute to service game, senior night. So it was a big night with a big crowd. You know, we had a flyover during the national anthem. We did it upright, and it was a good way to end the season.
Back and forth game, but the dramatic ending that we kind of chatted about last night. Penfield, after a 28-28 regular, after the game ended at 28-28 in time, Penfield got the ball first, and Calvin Pazins put the ball up in the corner of the end zone, and Johnny Lake, your big 6'6" center on your basketball team, made an acrobatic jump ball catch in the corner of the end zone and got his toes down and scored that and took the lead in overtime. And then talk about that play and how that kind of got set up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was a battle all game going into overtime. We had a plan both ways. If we got the ball first, we said, hey, first play, we're taking a shot. We don't even want to try to do anything. We knew we had a matchup mismatch with Johnny. And, you know, they've been keying, you know, they were bracketing Johnny almost all night, somebody over the top, somebody underneath. So we went to an empty five wide receiver set, which is something we don't do a ton, which put Dre Sean Bailey in the slot. So the safety had to bump over and take him. So we threw Dre in like a, what we call our dagger route. So he just runs right to the middle of the field. Safety went with him. We had one-on-one with Johnny. Calvin put a great ball back corner of the end zone, and Johnny just went up and grabbed it and got both feet in, actually, and it was a beautiful play. And so we scored right away, and we had no doubt we had to go for one just because of, hey, you know, we thought they would go for two, give us a stop to try to win the game. But so we went for one. Garrett Hill booted it through, took a seven-point lead, and then, you know, they got the ball first play. They got 9 yards and got down to the one-yard line. And then we stopped them second down, third down. They actually lost 3 yards. And then on fourth down, they made a nice catch to make it 35-34, and then we blocked the kick.
Yeah, Aiden Babick blocked the kick there and secured the win for you, and I bet you had a bunch of happy Panthers there at that point.
Yeah, no, it was great. You know, the kids were celebrating, and it was a great way to end the year. You know, we talked about all week, Bill, of, you know, as the seniors, when you look back on your career, if there's any regrets, I want you to leave them on the field tonight. All your regrets, you don't want to leave here tonight with any regrets about your football career, about anything. Leave it all tonight, end with a high note, and then the memory you take with you for the rest of your life is that last game that you play. You know, and our kids did that last night. We had some kids who played their best game I'd seen in 3 years since I've had them, and it was a really, really fun experience last night.
Calvin Pazins went 15 for 25 passing with a monster 365 yards, and 4 touchdowns through the air. Drayshon Bailey had another big game for you at running back, 153 yards rushing and 28 carries and a score, and he added 2 touchdowns receiving. Tommy Wright had 6 catches for 150 yards, and Johnny Lake had 4 catches for 125 yards. And in that group there, I mean, you have a young team, but in that group, well, that was a lot of seniors doing a lot of work in that final game. And I'm guessing some of those words you were talking to them kind of got through, because it looked like you got some inspired efforts from your seniors.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely played inspired last night. You know, our kids, like I said, you know, they came out with a new sense of urgency. You know, it was special from the get go. You know, truthfully, Bill, you know, I felt like we dominated that game. You know, they had a couple big plays. You know, we dominated the whole first half, and you know, they had a big play right before halftime, which allowed them to go up 8-7 at halftime, and then you know. A couple, you know, big plays. You know, that was a big thing for them, a couple big plays. But, you know, the thing that I loved was just how inspired we played defensively. You know, the last few weeks, I feel like, you know, we've been able to move the ball, do a couple things. But, you know, defensively, we played very inspired yesterday, last night, I should say. And, you know, it was just, again, it was something really awesome to be a part of.
Well, let's talk about some of those guys that played on your defense, came up big for you at key times, and looked like you got some guys all over the field kind of doing their jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously Gavin May had another outstanding football game for our defense. You know, he continues to set the tone. I believe he had 14, 15 tackles last night. A couple just key stops for us. Derek Beach played out of his mind last night. You know, and then Peyton Merlington, he's a junior. He's been very, very steady for us on the defensive line this year, and he had an outstanding game last night as well. But, you know, it was a collective effort for our defense. You know, it took our tackles making sure they were getting hands on and squeezing, you know, just to control their line of scrimmage. And again, our defense, it was a very collective effort.
And on the offensive side, with more than 500 yards of total offense, it looks like a ton of time for Calvin Payson to throw the ball and a lot of big holes for Drayshon Bailey to run through. Sounds like your offensive line did his job last night, too. You talk about some of those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we got 4 underclassmen on our offensive line. You know, we're not very big on the O-line. My left guard is 150 pounds. He started the year as a wide receiver. My right guard is 150 pounds. He started the year as a wide receiver. But they literally gave up playing the position they wanted to play because we needed some linemen. And, you know, they did a great job for us last night moving the pile. You know, our center is Trevor Gay. He's a junior. He had an outstanding year for us. And then Jackson Hamilton's a sophomore. He's my left tackle. And then Gavin May is the lone senior. We kind of moved him around all over the field last night offensively just to kind of get him more to the point of contact or, you know, the point of attack, I should say. You know, and again, you know, our offensive line has really grown, I would say, the last, you know, 2 to 3 weeks. You know, and it's just really awesome to see the growth there with those kids.
Well, we'll talk more about those kids next week when we get together one more time next week for Coach's Corner and talk about some of those seniors that finished up with you and some of the guys we can look forward to next year, and we can say some of our thank yous next week. So we'll look forward to that, Coach, when we chat with you, and thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Bill.
We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning after this break on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here on Coach's Corner with your other next coach of the morning, Coach Kevin Bennett of the St. Phil Fighting Tigers. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
We have a couple games to talk about with St. Phil, or at least to try to clean up. We have St. Phil was scheduled to play last Saturday night against Athens, and there was a ton of weather in the area that night, a lot of lightning, and you weren't able to get that game in. And after some discussions, you were trying to get the game going on Monday, And then that created some more confusion. So let's talk us through what happened there a little bit.
Yeah, so with all the lightning that was coming down and the forecast predicted till probably after 10 o'clock that night, we had decided that we were just going to not wait the weather out and postpone the game till Monday in hopes that we could reschedule this week's games to a Saturday. Unfortunately, one of the schools was not able to do that. So our Athens game ended up turning into a scrimmage and officially got canceled without a reschedule. So we ended up playing Athens this past Monday night, and then we went ahead with our regular season contest with Baroque last night.
And the rule there is you have to have a five-day period in between games in high school football, so that didn't follow that, so that made it, that game ended up being a cancellation. So then you had Baroque last night, so I fell against them, lost 58-6. Baroque ends the season at 4-5 in eight-player division football. Got another good performance from Brogan Lightfoot. Had the lone touchdown for you guys and 116 yards rushing. And talk about that final game of the regular season and your young club continuing to fight throughout the whole slate of games this year.
Yeah, you kind of always wonder, you know, how the boys are going to come out. You know, last game of the season, really nothing on the line outside of, you know, a hope to pull out a win. And just, you know, wondering what their mentality and their gameplay is going to be. But honestly, we walked away from the game, and even though it was just a tough loss for us, it was one of those games where we looked in the eyes of our guys and said, you know, there's just not one of you that we could say you didn't give effort tonight. And so our boys played the best to their ability with as much effort and grit as they could throughout the entire game, even with nothing on the line. And so because of that, we just can't be more proud of our guys. I mean, we have so many kids who are playing injured, playing hurt. We had a kid playing sick, coming off the flu, out of position. We had three boys last night who hadn't started, who started playing out of position and starting. I mean, our guys just were willing to do whatever it took throughout this entire season, just even field a team and give our guys some kind of chance to compete. So we're so proud as coaches. And even though we don't have a win necessarily on our schedule, there's a lot of individual victories, a lot of personal growth that we've seen out of our athletes, and hopefully we can just build on that in the offseason and next year.
Again, playing with a real young team again last night, as we talked all year, we only started the season with one senior, and I'm guessing he's been injured all year. He probably didn't play last night, right?
No, we haven't had our senior for the last five games. Yeah.
Only, and then Brogan Lightfoot, it gives you the only guy with real experience in terms of playing experience. So the rest are freshmen and some sophomores. And talk about what you hope to have gotten from this season and as you kind of look forward to next year.
Well, I think number one, we can't dismiss the experience that this freshman class received. The experience of playing at this high school level, competing against guys who are much bigger, you know, faster, stronger than us, older, more experienced than us. So the experience is something that these guys are going to be able to take with them. And I think the other thing is just the wake-up call of what it's going to take to be able to compete at this eight-man league that we're in. We play some tough teams and a lot of non-league tough teams. So hopefully these guys are going to be able to have a motivation to get into the weight room year round and kind of develop a little bit of a strength and conditioning. You know, we've got some things in mind to help them even build some football IQ in the off season. Yeah, these guys are determined, and I think the camaraderie that they built and that brotherhood that they built, I know it's used as a cliche a lot within football programs as far as brotherhood and family, but these guys were fighting and bleeding literally next to each other week in and week out. And I think that there was a true brotherhood, especially with that freshman class. And so sky's the limit with the years to come. I think we got a lot of great athleticism out of these guys. I just think we got to get them stronger, more experienced, and build some IQ.
Well, we'll talk more about that next week as we get together one last time. Highlight some of the guys moving forward and then give some thanks to the people behind the scenes that helped the St. Phil football program run. So I appreciate you coming down here, Coach, and we'll talk a little bit more next week.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning after this break on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here with our next Coach of the Morning. Very happy Coach Brett Vernon of the Lakeview Spartans getting their win last night in a huge 62-36 victory over Gull Lake. Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
We have Lakeview gone in, has had a tough season this year, and not a lot of Coach's Corner mornings that we've had a lot to talk about. We do have a lot to talk about last night from last night. A great victory for the guys, and it seemed like an inspired effort from your team and with kind of maybe the mindset that they did not want to walk off that field without getting a win this year.
I think, yeah, definitely. Senior night out there, you know, tried to beat it into our kids' heads. It's your last, for seniors, last time playing. Let's put it all out there. You know, we made some position changes defensively a little bit, and, you know, some of our senior guys, we kind of needed it out of them to play offense, defense, playing every single rep on the field, and they rose to the occasion and gave us a great effort and came out with a win.
Boy, a monster game from some of your guys. Really stood up. Austin Wildermuth, who's had a monster season all year for you, win or lose, and he came out last night like a man possessed, had six touchdowns. We're still trying to figure out from digging up those Lakeview record books to see if that's close to the records, and added up 394 yards rushing on 37 carries. Talk about that night. That's one for the ages right there.
Yeah, it's awesome. What a night. You add in that 10 yards of a screen pass that he took. He's over 400 total yards of offense there with that six touchdowns. You know, going into the game, you know, just throughout, you know, last few games, we had some individual records that, you know, goals that we could have accomplished, and that was getting 1,000 yards for Austin rushing. He was about 150, 160 away going into the game. And I just, you know, calling the game, not having a clue where he's at, you know, just kept kind of feeding him the ball. You know, at the end of the night, he ends up with that number. Pretty sweet the way he ran. You got to give credit to the offensive line that was in front of him as well, because, you know, they were giving him 5 yards without getting touched. And then Austin did the rest when he got to, you know, first contact, running through some tackles and falling forward every single time, you know, averaging over 10 yards a carry, and to carry the ball 37 times and playing linebacker out there. I mean, just the way that his body, you know, continued to go through the game was awesome. Did a great job.
And sometimes you see those kind of games with six touchdowns or a monster yardage game in a blowout, but he needed every one of those yards and all those touchdowns, because Gull Lake was scoring right with you. It was a back-and-forth game. It seemed to last all night long. It was a late game, and both teams were looking to score. Lakeview got the lead early and seemed to have a lot of momentum early, but then Gull Lake had that big second half, which kind of pressured Lakeview to continue to have to score. You guys felt that pressure throughout, right?
Yeah, it was, you know, we were trying to get to that. It was close to getting to that 35-point mark, you know, keeping that clock running. But then they kept coming back, and you got towards the end of the third and the fourth quarter where they got that onside kick and, you know, give them a chance to maybe get down by two scores. And so, yeah, we just needed to continue to score on offense, and we did that. Pretty much every single drive that we had, we scored on. I think there was two that we didn't. We missed that field goal, and I think there was another drive that we didn't, with a fumble or something like that, that we didn't score on. But every single one, we just rolled down the field, continued to score there, you know, kept the foot on the gas pedal and continued to move the ball.
Isaiah Jackson also had a big game for you, 183 yards rushing on 12 carries. You were going in and out between your two different sets. I have an option quarterback with Isaiah coming in there, or you went for your passing attack with Caleb there, and that seemed to work a lot last night when you need those extra yards, or when they were trying to focus on Austin and Wildermuth, and that gave you guys another option. You got also had touchdowns from Logan Blaylock, a touchdown from Caleb McCune from that quarterback spot when he had a chance to rush the ball, and just an all-around effort from your seniors, and that being there and watching those guys celebrate and getting to ring that victory bell last night. I know I saw you right after that game saying, make sure you guys go ring that victory bell, because they deserved it. And
That was important for everybody, right?
Sure was. To send those seniors out on that note, I hope they had fun in that game. You know, talked about as you know, one of the keys to the game is to have fun, to have fun with it. There wasn't a ton of fun through this year, you know, going 0-8 through the first eight games. It's tough. It's tough on the psyche. It's tough on the kids, tough on the coaches, tough on fans. But to finish the way that we did, I think, you know, puts a smile on everybody's face and get to do some of those traditions at Lakeview that we didn't get to do through the year. And so them being able to ring that bell as they leave for the last time, I think, was pretty important. And as you said, you know, we got a lot of kids that they got to get into the end zone. I mean, obviously Austin got in there six times, but you know, we got some other guys that got into that end zone. You know, it's just as you play calling, why go away from the run? We run for, you know, 600 yards. And yeah, I'd love to throw the ball because I got some kids that I'd love to get that ball, but you can't do it in that situation. You got to continue to just pound the rock. And
your guys getting 10 yards a pop on most of those times that Austin was running hard. And A lot of credit to your offensive line. Let's talk about some of those guys who came up big for you last
year. Yeah, we had three seniors on that offensive line that, you know, started for us for the last few years. Jamie Boykins, Frank Buffard, Carlos Suarez. Those kids are, you know, three-year seniors for us that have you know, just kind of been there, kind of been the rock all season long, doing a great job of opening up some holes for Austin. And, of course, Austin, you know, finishing runs. And the two younger guys, Jackson Wirtz and Zach Acker, will be back next year. But, you know, all through the year, you know, did a pretty decent job up front paving the way for our running game.
And when you needed some stops, you did. You got some stops, or you got some plays on special teams that the opening kickoff was key for that beginning there. You did kind of a pop-up kick that kind of bounced and Garlic wasn't able to cover in time, and you guys got that early possession and scored right after that, and then scored right away following that. And then second quarter, you got a blocked punt, and that enabled you to score, get a touchdown going your way too. So some special teams play, that just shows some hustle all over the place from some guys that don't always get to playing time, right?
Yeah, so, you know, it was kind of funny. It was, you know, you're arguing back and forth between some coaches, like, do we take the ball right away? Do we kick the ball right away? You know, and I'm the type of guy that likes to defer, have that ball at halftime, just hopefully make some defensive stops. You get that extra possession, you know, at halftime, and, you know, paid off right off the get-go where they muffed that kick, jumped on top of it, which was awesome, just go down and score there. And then, you know, defense came up with the stop that we needed. They got 3 points off of it, but it wasn't what we've had in the year, which is we go down and score and they come back and score. And that seems like that was just a repeating pattern. And so the defense came up with a big stop there. We get that punt block, which was awesome. You know, give credit to Coach O'Connor for seeing what, you know, weaknesses they had on their punt team and attacked it, exposed it, and got that punt block and going in score from there. And yeah, I mean, I think our kids were flying around with a little extra energy last night, and that was fun to watch.
Well, we'll come back next week and talk one more time about this season and highlight some kids that had a good year for you, and then thank some other people behind the scenes in the program to help the Lakeview Spartans roll along. So I appreciate you, Coach, for coming on down this morning.
Good. Thanks, sir.
We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here after this on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here with our next Coach of the Morning, Coach Mason Converse of the Harper Creek Beavers. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Bill.
We're talking about the defending Interstate 8 Conference champs for the second year in a row. For the second year in a row, the Beavers are outright champs after beating Jackson Northwest 48-16 last night. It's the first time Harper Creek has won back-to-back outright Interstate 8 Conference titles since the 2011-2012 season. That's got to be a lot of fun to hear and a lot of fun to say, right?
Sounds pretty sweet. And we were trying to look this week, and we knew we shared it in 2016, and then we won it outright in 2017. And so we were looking back, and near as we can figure, there's no exact records on that, but as near as we can figure, 2011, we definitely won it outright because we were undefeated that year. And then in 2012, we started 0-2, but then we ran the table and finished 7-2. And I think the teams that we got beat by were on the other side of the conference. So I believe we won the Smack East outright that year. But yeah, either way, these kinds of things don't happen very often. So you got to make sure you take a moment and enjoy that. And that was part of what we talked to the boys last night about as well. And Northwest has had a good season, not where they want to be yet, but they have much improved from where they've been in the past. And I didn't want any chance of our guys overlooking them. And we didn't want to share it like we talked about last week. So this was just a little extra motivation for them to have a chance to etch their name in the names in the record books of, hey, we won it outright, and we won it outright back-to-back, and that's pretty sweet.
Took care of business early, jumped on them fast, and that's what you want to do in that kind of game and make sure there's no doubt. You're up 28-0 at halftime and up 42-0 after the third quarter, so the running clock was going on there, and any points Jackson Northwest scored after that was against your seconds and stuff, so a great performance. And that was important for the Beavers to have in terms of how you want to have some momentum going into the postseason. Is that right?
Yeah, it was a very workmanlike effort last night. Again, these guys have been focused all year. And in the times you worry about high school kids, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids looking past teams, and these guys are pretty dialed in. And that's a credit to our leadership, our seniors especially. They've worked so hard to prove themselves as leaders, to become better leaders every day. And it started right away with the opening kickoff. I mean, when Tanner Aldersons, who's been an outstanding player for us all year, he stripped the ball in the opening kickoff. And so we get that, and we score, I think, three plays later, and we're up 7-0 in the first minute of the game. And then we come back. Our defense played outstanding and forced a 3-and-out. And we scored pretty quickly on that drive also with Maddox McCarty on a nice pass to Dylan Eversall. So we're up 14-0. I don't even think 2 minutes have gone by in the game yet. So we started just like we talked about, wanted to start quick. And they came out and did put a nice drive together and kept us on our toes a little bit. And it was a good gut check for our defense. We actually had a little goal line stand. I think they could have gotten a first down right around the 1 foot line or half yard line, but it was fourth and a yard from about the 1.5, and we stopped them. And so that's huge. Again, momentum for our defense. And then we went back down and scored again. So that was going into the second quarter. And like you said, we were up 28-0 at halftime. So the defense played outstanding all night to hold them to scoreless through three quarters and to be up 42-0 at the end of the third quarter. And I know the stats show that they had quite a few yards, but a lot of that was just they kept their starters in the whole game, and we wanted to play our kids because going into playoffs, you want to make sure you give everybody a chance to play. So overall, I mean, Derek Stansberry and our defensive staff had a great plan, and we held them to 3 of 9 on third downs, 2 of 5 on fourth downs. We had 2 fumbles and an interception. So when you win the turnover battle like that, that's huge. And then defensively, with tackles, Cam Converse had 13. That was a monster game out of him. Cohen Deskins, again, had a monster game at the D-line. He's really coming on week after week, the late in the season here. And he had 10 tackles from the D-line spot. Levi Carr had 10 tackles. Tegan Turnbull with 8. Antoine Westry with 8. And then Josh Bodie with 7. So anytime you get the core interior guys of your defense making those big tackles, that says a lot about defense and the yards you're not giving up.
On offense, Nolan Oaks led you in rushing with 113 yards and 2 touchdowns. Maddox McCarty went 10 for 15 passing with 144 yards and 2 touchdown passes, while he had another touchdown run on the ground. And Dylan Eversall had 6 catches for 103 yards receiving and a score, and an all-around effort there. And a lot of players were able to eat last night, so that was great for them. And that gives that victory, and it's an 8-1 season for the Beavers.
Yep, absolutely. And again, or like you said, our offense was clicking. So we were, we held them to a 3 of 9 on third downs, but we were 6 of 7 on third downs ourselves, and then 1 of 1 on fourth down. And Maddox can't say enough about the season he's having. He's got just under 1,000 yards passing for the season. And coming into the year, we knew that to take this next step and to be able to try and make a playoff run, we needed to be able to throw the ball better than we have in the past. And we talked about having a 1,000-yard passer this year, and he should eclipse that this week. So he's just had an outstanding year, being 10 for 15 for 144 yards, that first big throw to Dylan. But then really his connection with Dylan, and Coach Fuller has really worked hard with those guys getting that connect. The quarterback-receiver connection is so key. You see that in college. You see that in the pros, and it's the same thing in high school too. And Maddox, his evolution as a quarterback last night, on he threw a nice touchdown pass to Logan Converse, and that was the third read. He looked to Dylan. Dylan was covered. He looked to the flats. The flats were covered, and so he found Logan on the hunt route or drag route across the field. And earlier in the season, Maddox wasn't getting that far in his reads, and you can tell he's progressing and getting better, which is what you want as a coach. And so Brock Hibbs had two big catches for us as well. And then on the rushing side, we rushed for 324 yards, which is an outstanding night. And like you said, Nolan Oaks led us with 113 yards and two touchdowns. Cohen Slukter had a nice touchdown run for us, and really the offense was clicking on all cylinders. And what's a nice thing to see is our guys train, and they know if they're not starters, they're only one play away. They're going to play if it gets to be late in the games and have opportunities, and they work their tails off to have those opportunities. And all year long, we've brought running backs in or receivers in waves, and those guys get a chance. They know that that's their chance to shine, and they might be starters next year or coming up if heaven forbid there's an injury. And so we had our backups go in and ran really well too. And Cash Simpson comes in and just laid the boom down on somebody, absolutely hammered, trucked a kid for a touchdown. And he wanted to make sure he's been a JV player for us all year, and he's one of our next up and comers. And he wanted to let everybody know that here he comes. And our next wave of backs, even though we're graduating some pretty good seniors, the next guys are coming.
And what's fun about this time of year, especially when you have the kind of year that you have, is you get to sit around on Sunday night and watch the selection show on the MHSA, find out who you're going to play in the playoffs, and that is announced Sunday night at 6 o'clock. And the Inquirer crystal ball had its crystal ball out during the midweek, and we were looking at some options there, and looked like with Harbor Creek's points that they have and strength of schedule that you guys are going to be up there and for sure host the first-round game, maybe host the first 3 weeks if you guys keep winning. And what we're looking at here is possibly catching some teams west of us, possibly Three Rivers, maybe a rematch with Edwardsburg, possibly in the second round, possibly Vicksburg. That would be the way I think that's going to go. There's also a chance you could go north, but it'd be great to find out what happens next Sunday, and I know you guys are excited about that time.
Yeah, this is what we've worked all year for, and to look at where we are in playoff points or strength of schedule points, we're number 5 right now in Division 4. And the only schools who have more points than us are all east. So like Goodrich, Harper Woods, Chelsea, and Williamston have more points than us. So as long as we stay east or north, we have a chance to host 3 rounds of playoff games. Now, we've had that in the past, and we stubbed our toe. So just because you have more playoff points, you have to actually win the game. And we know that we have faltered the last couple of times in the playoffs, and so that's been a constant thing all year. Is we're building for the playoffs, and that's why we wanted to go play teams like Cedar Springs and Kenilworth Hills to get us prepared for the playoffs. So now is when we get a chance to put that into action and see what we can do. This is exciting time of the year, and this is what you work so hard for since really all year, but really since the beginning of June when summer started.
Well, some of your coaching staff and yourself had to put some of your teacher's degrees to work last night, maybe, and then did some math and try to find out where your computer points may match up with some of these other teams you know that you're going to be possibly hosting, and looking at where some other teams might fall as after they won or lost last night. Do you have any inklings going forward in terms of what you might go to?
Well, I try to leave all the projections to the people that make a living doing that, like yourself, yeah. Or even like Snooze, but the one projection has us going down to the Wolverine Conference and possibly drawing Three Rivers, and there's no easy road in the playoffs. I mean, if they play good football down in the Wolverine Conference, and if we were to get matched up with Three Rivers, we know that they're going to be a tough physical football team, and we're going to have to bring our A game. And then if the holds true on the other side of the bracket is say Vicksburg Edwardsburg, we'd get the winner of that, and we scrimmage Vicksburg, and they're a much improved, very quality football team, and we know what Edwardsburg is, and they kicked our tails last year in the playoffs, and we would love an opportunity to have a rematch with them and just show that we can play with teams like that as well too. And if we go the other direction north, we know there's Portland, who is an outstanding football program, and they're 9-0, and like I said, there's no easy direction in the playoffs because everybody's good.
A lot of excitement, I'm sure, last night on the bus ride home from Jackson, thinking about those playoffs, the guys on the team all looking forward to having another practice on Monday, which is always great to have when you get to schedule that practice on Monday in the postseason. Be a lot to look forward to, Coach.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Bill.
We'll talk a little bit more about that next week when we all get together about a playoff game with the Harbor Creek Beavers. That's it for Coach's Corner for this week. We'll be back next Saturday on WBCK 95.3 FM.